I tend to be up very early in the mornings, well before the sun. And as I walk my dog, I watch the skies. This year has been notable for the alignment of celestial bodies. Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and Venus have all been lined up and marching in a heavenly parade that is eye-catching, especially when the moon gets involved. Today, we have a rare alignment in our reading. There is often a theme that can be picked up from one or two of our readings, but this week, there is a golden thread of meaning that runs throughout all of the readings, and we can even pick up that thread in our collect, too. That gleaming thread that runs through our readings is this. Our faith is more than a set of beliefs and doctrines. Our faith is a practice. All of our readings and our collect have something to tell us about our faith as a practice. In our collect, the increase of true religion occurs as we are nourished with all goodness, and the fruit of good works are brought forth in us. We're nourished by our worship of God and our celebration of the Holy Eucharist. We are healed and made whole and kept in everlasting life by the body and blood of our Lord. Our practice of word and sacrament enables our practice of good works. Our worship and our actions that follow are inseparable from each other. We are purposely reminded of the so what of our worship, the fruit of good works, if you will, by the words of the dismissal at the end of our worship. Go forth in the name of Christ. Go forth rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Bless the Lord. And most commonly, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. These are the actions for the practice of our faith. In our reading from Deuteronomy, we pick up the golden thread as we hear Moses instruct the people of God to observe the teachings of God faithfully. The teachings of God are all of the commandments given to God's people. And the commandments, summed up in one word, love. Love God, love your neighbor. This is the summary of all the law. Love, of course, is both the source and the character of the practice of true religion. In his letter, St. James tells us quite clearly that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. St. James is telling us that passive Christianity is an oxymoron. There's no such thing. True religion is the combined power of belief and action. Personal faith, community faith, expressed as social ministry. We'll hear much more about St. James in the weeks to come about this personal and community faith and the way that it is lived out in the world in social ministry. But again, it boils down to that one word, love. Love is not a passive emotion to be enjoyed with sentimentality only. We are called to love in action. Specifically, St. James tells us that true religion is caring for the orphans and the widows. In today's terms, for all of those who are vulnerable. True religion is to care for all people in their need and to keep oneself, in St. James's words, unstained by the indifference of the world. And we do this by taking action in the name of love. Then in the gospel, Jesus says there's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. It's what comes out that will defile. It's easy for us to distance ourselves from the concerns of the Pharisees because we tend to focus on that sharp criticism they get from Jesus in the Gospels. In fact, the Pharisees understood that God had given them the law as a gift in order to live their lives as God's people. This is exactly what we heard in our reading from Deuteronomy. Their observance of the law was meant to be a witness to the nations around them of the glory of God, the glory of being God's people. It seems that the scribes and the Pharisees had legitimate concerns. So why then do they receive such a harsh response from Jesus? Jesus is reminding the Pharisees and us of what we should already know. Religiosity is not true religion. Let's take a minute then to tease out what this notion of contrasting religiosity and true religion might be. Religiosity is when we elevate the trappings of ritual to be objects of our worship. When we focus all our attention on the style or the attractiveness of our ritual, this is religiosity. When it is more important to be comfortable, or perhaps what might be even worse in today's society, to be entertained by our ritual, than to practice the ministries of welcome and formation for everyone who comes to worship, that is religiosity. As theologian Elizabeth Johnson puts it, the problem with the Pharisees and the scribes, according to Jesus, was that they had become so focused on the externals of faithfulness that they had forgotten to examine their hearts, to find the love that they had for God. Their efforts to live faithfully were putting up walls of alienation instead of drawing them closer to God and to their neighbors. The rituals they observed created a spiritual hierarchy between the clean and the unclean. Instead of expressing the holiness of God, the ritual purity became a means of excluding the people who were considered dirty or unworthy in some way. Following Jesus demands an intense, thorough examination of ourselves, of our true intentions and motivations, our true beliefs about who we are, who God is, and what is really at stake in having this relationship with God. The question then is what constitutes true religion? Is it concern for getting everything just right in our worship? Is true religion creating the perfect sense of dignified reverence? Or is there room in true religion for the often chaotic and disruptive inbreaking of the Holy Spirit? True religion practices our rituals in order to worship God and to foster in our hearts the will to follow the teachings of God, to love everyone without exception. I want to share a real-life example of the contrast between religiosity and true religion with you. It isn't unusual to hear about good church-going Christians who complain about the noisy, squirmy children disturbing the reverent atmosphere of our liturgy. I've heard parents say that they are mortified to receive the cold glare of disapproval when their children behave like children, making noise, asking questions, squirming around in the pew, maybe even wandering around in the nave. But I've seen something happening in our worship communities at Holy Trinity and here that makes my heart sing. I've seen older couples whose children are grown sitting in the pews with the families of small children. I've seen them holding those squirmy little children on their laps. I've seen them pointing out and explaining what's going on at various points in the liturgy. And here at St. Paul's, we've been visited by some folks who have a bit of a hard time sitting still during our liturgy, some older than our little children. And this community has always accepted them and welcomed them and loved them through our liturgy. So it isn't just at the 10:30 service where most of our families with the small children attend. I've seen it at the 8 o'clock service, at our Thursday evening healing service. I've seen it here. And that, I want to tell you, that practice of being present with those who have a hard time sitting still and being dignified and reverent, that is true religion. That is the practice of love and acceptance and welcome that is the true and pure worship of our God. Jesus tells us that what is in the human heart is what determines our actions. When we come together here, month by month, to worship God, to hear and respond to the gospel, to be fed by the body and blood of Christ, we take into ourselves what is good and right and joyful. We don't worship our worship. We worship the God who loves us and reminds us that we must be like little children to obtain the kingdom of God. We worship the God who makes it possible for us to love and accept everyone who comes to worship. And when we leave, hopefully it is with the intention to follow and serve Jesus, who reminds us that our faith is a practice of the love that God has instilled in our hearts as we worship God together.